In this Good Shepherd Week, our reading for today is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 24. Christ himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. More than 30 years ago, here on this campus, a young lady, 18 years old, came to attend college. And the first week that she was here, I was trying to get to know new people, as probably most of you did too when you first started. Her parents, I'm sure, talked to her about drinking, and I'm sure her parents talked to her about things with dating, things that pertain to the Sixth Commandment. The first weekend that she was here, she decided to go to a big party, a big beer party, and had never really been drinking before. And her own sensitivities of what to do compared to what her parents had told her made her go to this party and decide to start drinking, and she'd never felt the effects of alcohol on her before, and very quickly she became drunk. And apparently that same night, a young man took her into the woods and took advantage of her. She doesn't even remember his name. And a few weeks later, realized she was now expecting a baby. She had to drop out of college, changed her entire life. Just not listening quite well enough to what her parents had told her. It's interesting how this happens to all of us in little different ways, maybe now and then, where we get really good advice, really sound directives from someone who certainly would know a lot better than us. And yet there's something in us that just feels we know better. And we're going to override that in our thinking and in our minds and in our lives. And it's sad then to see the consequences of that often happen. The difficulties and struggles that sometimes this can bring into people's lives, sometimes it wrecks their health for the rest of their life. In the text before us, Peter is alluding to the rebellious nature that's inside of all of us because of the fall into sin. He says to the Christians of his day and us as well, "You were like sheep going astray." And this rebellious nature in us is really rooted in our pride. It's rooted in a sense that we don't want somebody to dictate to us and have to tell us what we should do. We want to think it through ourselves. We want to be autonomous when it comes to things like this. And we often imagine that we know what's best for ourselves rather than maybe what someone else or certainly God would want to tell us. There is a bent in us against authority. The great theologian John Cougar Mellencamp once said, "I fight authority and authority always wins." And there's some truth to that. So just like wandering sheep that stray from a shepherd, if you could get into the brain of that sheep as it's straying, as it's off in a dangerous area, in its mind it thinks it's doing the best thing for itself. It's making a decision that it thinks is better than any other directive it might be receiving at the time. And so it is with us too. Whenever we are led into things that go away from what our Savior would want and away from the directives of God, we convince ourselves in our minds, this is to my advantage. It's to my advantage to not listen to this higher authority because my mind I want now to be the high authority. That's what I want to listen to, rather than anything above me. And this root of rebellious sin inside of all of us goes back to our first parents. You can see it in the first temptation. Okay, did God really say? That's really a temptation to usurp the authority of God. That's a temptation to Adam and Eve, to put what they thought and wanted over what God himself had already told them, which was going to be for their good. But in their minds, they were now convinced it's going to be even rather better for me if I disobey that, if I go against that. And that's really the root of all sin, isn't it, inside of all of us? It's pride. And it's really usurping what we know God would tell us in his word. It's putting ourselves above that and not really wanting to have him shepherd us, if you will, and have him guide us through that word. And because of that, human beings can fall into some very gross sins. We often refer to the depravity of man. There are consequences that come from our disobedience, and especially when it comes to eternity. There are eternal consequences to not listening to the word of God. So Peter is reminding all of us how desperately we need oversight from God. How desperately we need to have him, with his authority and knowledge and understanding, come to us and teach us what we need to know and to guide us and direct us in our lives. He's the one that has created the very soul that's inside of you. Down inside of each one of us, deeper than any of us can penetrate or know, is this spiritual capacity in us, this soul that God himself has designed and created and made. It's the deepest part of you as a human being. It's kind of the engine from which everything, your thoughts and everything, comes out of. And God is the one who's made that, designed it, and knows what's best for that. And that's why we hear that great line in the psalm, "Know that the Lord, he is God. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." You and I don't even know how many hairs are on our head. And he knows that. Something simple and little like that, as close to you as you can get. And God has greater knowledge even of that little patch on your head. Certainly he understands the depth of your soul and what is important for you and for me and the deepest part of us. So when Christ comes to this world to be our overseer, to be the shepherd of our souls, we can believe that it is always going to be for our good. It will never be for our detriment. It may feel like it at a moment, but it will always be for our good and for our benefit. One time Jesus was looking out over the city of Jerusalem and he said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Notice the heart of the shepherd there, wanting everybody to come, even those who have rebelled against him. And he shows the rebellion that's in us, that the children of Israel had even put to death many of the people that brought the word of God to them, killed the prophets, and stoned those sent to them. And yet God still holds out to us his loving arms. He still, like a hen, opens her wings up to try to bring all of her chicks into her safety and care. That's how our Lord Jesus still is, even toward you and me, when we are the most rebellious, even when we are the most difficult and the most stubborn and the most anti-authoritarian you can get. He still comes to us with his love. He still comes to you through his word and sacrament and wants to bring you to his side, because that's where you will have safety and care for your soul and ultimately for your eternal life. This is a strong, convicted heart of the Son of God toward us, even in our most rebellious nature. The Queen of England, Elizabeth II, who is probably about 95 years old right now, is very, very beloved, especially by her generation of people, okay? People that lived through World War II and the aftermath. And there are some reasons for that. As a teenager living through World War II, Buckingham Palace, where she was living, was bombed, and her family chose to stay there despite all of that, and chose to stay there with the people of England even as their city was being bombed. She was the only one of royalty in all of the world at the time who asked to join into the war effort and went up and signed up for what we would call the National Guard here in the U.S., She also had her wedding come up during this time, right after the war, and she sacrificed and saved her own money rather than relying on the royal coffers to get a wedding dress. And she bought a really inexpensive one and held a rather understated wedding, you might say. Another event that happened in her life, an intruder broke into the palace years later when she was queen. and actually came into her very bedroom while she was sleeping. It was a man who had a mental illness. And she woke up, and guards went to get the police, and she sat on the bed with this man and talked to him gently for 10 minutes before the police arrived. Because of all of these types of things, the people of her generation just have an allegiance to her because they know she's really committed to them and their good and their welfare. How much grander can we, as believers in Christ, recognize and have an allegiance to all the things that he's done for us? He came out of heaven. He left eternal royalty to come down to this earth and to suffer the most vicious abuse, being spit upon and whipped and nailed to a cross and stuck into a cold grave so that you and I could have all of our sins paid for and forgiven freely before God. He rose again from that grave to give us the hope of everlasting life. He made sure to lay himself across the coals of hell so you and I would never have to know what that kind of pain would ever feel like. If there's anyone in this world who should have an allegiance to this Savior for all of the great sacrifices that he has made, it's those of us who've been brought into his flock, the sheep in his flock who have come to know him and love him, and all the marvelous grace that he continues to show us day after day. And so wherever he oversees you and me in our lives through his word, wherever he gives us guidance, let us follow, because it's always going to be for our good. He's the one who says to you and me, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. No one can pluck them out of my hand." Amen.